We want to urge you, as I know you have been through the years, to be immediately responsive to the Word of God. If you feel God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, don't wait till altar service. Just receive it right during the preaching. And for that matter, just get healed right during the preaching. Or singing, or offering, just any time. We're here to let God have His way. And everybody with a Bible, please say, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
Those without your Bibles on your person tonight, would you say, "Praise the Lord"? Not very many of you. I'm glad of that. Open your Bible tonight and let us consider a story we're going to preach from in the second chapter of Mark, chapter 2 of Mark. And we will use the expository method of Bible preaching tonight. That is a verse-by-verse expounding. I've always felt the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And we're going to preach from this story in Mark 2 that begins in verse 1 and goes down to verse 12 of a man with a palsied condition, uncontrollable nervous disorder, shaking, quaking. And he had friends that brought him to Jesus in a rather unusual way. They knocked a hole in the roof and lowered him down on the cot, and Jesus healed him. And the man walked out the door. Nowadays, a lot of churches, they come to church through the door and go out the roof, you know. But we want you tonight to let the Lord do a miracle if it needs to be. I believe in miracles. I believe in divine healing. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe God will honor His Word. Everybody say, "God will honor His Word." He'll do it, friend. He'll do it. There's 30,000 promises in the King James Version of the Bible. A little over that. And 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. God will honor His Word. Titus 1, verse 2, God that cannot lie. Hebrews 6, 18, it is impossible for God to lie. Anybody in this building like to raise your hand? Since you've been in this world, you've never ever told a lie of any kind. Don't raise your hand because you'd be lying for sure. Okay? But it is impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. Malachi 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. James 1:17, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Moffat's version reads that, neither is there any eclipse. Then Hebrews 13:8, quote it with me. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Do you believe He's a healer tonight? Is He a Holy Spirit baptizer tonight? Can He work some problems out tonight? Cast some devils out tonight? Hallelujah. In this story, chapter 2, verse 12, I'm reading for a text. It's the conclusion of the story of the book of Mark. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Would you glorify God if someone got their healing tonight? Would you? Would you glorify God if someone received the Holy Spirit tonight?
Well, let's thank Him in advance.
Let's just in advance thank Him tonight.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Just before you're seated, I want to put a title on this. A lot of my sermons are like a lot of other preachers' sermons. The title is more profound than the sermon. But you got to put something on it for people to remember. So I'm going to preach on the thought from a song that I've been hearing and I like. There is a healer in the house today. There is a healer in the house today. Now, this may sound strange, but I'm not really preaching on divine healing as such. What I'm going to try to preach about is the potentiality, the accessibility, the presence to make you aware who's in here tonight. And then when you realize who's here, whatever your need is, He's able to come. Hallelujah! There's a healer in the house today! Would you shout amen?
Amen.
Please be seated and the Lord bless you tonight.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now to begin, we must stay in Scripture. The Bible does teach and preach that God heals, without a doubt. In what is called the Jehovah series, that is the compound titles of God, one of them is Jehovah Rophe. Comes out of Exodus 15, verse 26, and it translates, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And without a doubt, when Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, 53 verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of his peace, of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, Peter made a reference to that in his epistle, the first one, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, it has been made an argument, and there is some credence to it, that Peter said, ye were healed, Isaiah said, are healed, that it is speaking primarily of salvation, healing of the soul, being delivered from sin. But you beg the argument when you just say that's all there is, because healing involves body, soul, and spirit. And if God can heal the spirit, He can heal the body. If He can heal the soul, He can heal the body. So you're begging the argument, because you're already admitting God can heal. Then we have the evidence, and that's what faith is, the evidence of things not seen. But we have the evidence in Matthew 8 and 2, of the lepers being healed. Verse 10, a centurion's servant was healed many miles away when Jesus spoke the word. And then Matthew 9:18, a ruler's daughter, Jairus' daughter. Verse 21 of Matthew 9, a woman with an issue of blood 12 years got her healing. So don't give up! Verse 28, two blind men got healed. Matthew 14:36, a whole multitude at the same time got their healing. And God can heal everybody in this building right now. He can fill everybody that needs the Holy Ghost right now. He can cast out every devil right now.
He can answer every problem
right now. Right now. Then Matthew 15:28, a Syrophoenician woman's daughter possessed and grievously vexed with the devil, Jesus delivered. There's no time for me because the world could not contain the books that should have been written. But Jesus demonstrated power over nature by walking on the water, Matthew 14:25, and stilling the angry wind and waves, Mark 4:41. And casting out devils, Luke 10, verse 17, 18, and given us that right and power, Mark 16, 17, Acts 16, 18, and ad infinitum. I'm here to tell you as I begin, the potentiality of you being delivered has never been greater than it is right now. Because the healer, the problem solver, the heart mender, the leper cleanser, the bread multiplier is in this building right this very second. Another one of the compound titles of God is in Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, which means God is there. In other words, no matter where you go, when you arrive, God's already there. And He's waiting on you. That He is omnipresent. 1 Kings 8, verse 27 proves that. The heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 6 and 6, verse 18 of that book proves that. 7, verse 9, 11, verse 4. Of the book of Psalms proves that. Jeremiah 17 and verse 20 proves that. And Psalm 139, and it's a beautiful reading. You ought to read it sometime. Verses 7 through 12, where David said, if I take the wings of the morning, you know, go to the uttermost part of the sea, thou art there. If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Yes, God's everywhere. And then, if you want to read in Jeremiah 3 and verse 17, and in the reading of Ephesians 2 verse 22 and Revelation 21 and 3 and Revelation 22 and verse 3, all proves God's everywhere. When Philip was preaching in Acts 7, 48 and 49, he quoted Solomon's prayer and again talked about the heavens of heaven cannot contain thee. Isaiah said, 66:1, heaven is thy throne and the earth is thy footstool. And the Lord God Himself, Jeremiah 23:24, do not I fill heaven and earth? And then Acts 17, verse 24. Then here comes Jesus. Would you believe this? Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm telling you, disease. I'm telling you, devil. I'm telling you, depression. I'm telling you, problems. There's a healer in this house right now. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:20 is another verse. And John 3:16, and this goes on and on. That God is here. He's never lost a battle. He's never seen a devil He couldn't whip, a sickness He couldn't heal, a problem He couldn't solve, and a church He couldn't revive, a husband He couldn't save, a wife He couldn't deliver, a children He couldn't catch and bring back into the house of God. I'm here to tell you, like the poet said, I'm not big on poetry, but I like some every now and then. The poet said, they cannot shell His temple, nor dynamite His throne. They cannot bomb His city, nor rob Him of His own. They cannot take Him captive, nor strike Him deaf, nor blind, nor starve Him to surrender, nor make Him change His mind. They cannot cause Him panic, nor cut off His supplies. They cannot take His kingdom, nor hurt him with their lies. Though all the world be shattered, his truth remains the same. His righteous law still potent, and Jesus is his name. I'm telling you, he's able. He's in this building, and he knows how to work on your problem. Amen. The last verse of that poem said, though we face war and struggle and feel their golden rod, yet we know above confusion there always will be God. You say, well, I don't feel it. Feel him. Well, that don't prove nothing. Well, I don't see him. That don't prove nothing either. I've never seen angels. A lot of my friends see them all the time. I believe them when they tell me. But I've never seen a cherubim, a seraphim, an angel. Now, I've seen devils in my day. I'll tell you that right now. I've seen a whole boatload of them things. I'll tell you right now. And so if there is a devil, then there has to be an angel, see? And my friend, if there's error, there has to be truth. I'm here to tell you, just because you don't see or you don't feel, don't mean he's not in this place. There is revival. There is deliverance in this house. But you've got to go for it. And that's what I'm going to try to do tonight, is grease your skids and try to get you to put the pedal to the metal. You're sitting there all messed up in your mind and heart and life, and the devil likes it that way. But there's a healer in the house today. I'm here to tell you he can deliver you. And the devil's scared you're going to wake up to that realization and information, and you're going to understand, hey, I don't have to leave here bound to bad habits and depressed and get on tranquilizers or a slave to a cigarette or a bottle of booze. I don't have to leave here with bitterness in my heart. I can be healed, body, soul, and spirit. So this story is what I want to preach from. Your Bibles are open. You might want to follow along. It's in, of course, the second chapter of Mark. Verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And it was noise that he was in the house. The word noise means to broadcast or to spread abroad news, or in the original meaning of the word gossip, that they told it. That there was a healer in that house. They got excited about it. Now, I'm just going to tell it to you straight. I think it's time to get excited about who's here. I think it's time to pull the stops out and start making some noise that the sea walker is in this house right now. Hallelujah! It was noise. It was noise. We read in Psalm 100, didn't we? Make a joyful noise. 98:4 Psalm said the same thing primarily. Then it said, make a loud noise. Psalm 150 tells us, praise him on the loud cymbals. Praise him on the high-sounding cymbals. In fact, a lot of sophisticated people that say they're church members would dearly love for Acts 2 verse 1 to read, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And eventually, in the progression of theological evolution, there came a whisper on the wind, gentle as a zephyr breeze in the summertime, tiptoeing down the Milky White Way and sliding into town under the door, and wanted to come into your church and your heart and made a promise, let me in. I promise I won't put a herky-jerky on you. I promise I won't get you all excited. But I'm sorry, it doesn't read that way. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound. A sound from heaven, and of a rushing, mighty wind. And it
filled all the house wherein they were sitting.
Oh, hallelujah. It was said of the early church in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. We need to make noise. Paul and Silas did at midnight in a prayer meeting in a jailhouse. Acts 16 and verse 25. We need to praise Him. We need to get excited about who is here. If you get to make it to heaven, heaven's going to be full of noisemakers. That's going to be so excited about Jesus Christ. You ought to read it in a future tense. 5 verse 11 of the book of Revelation, depicting the future state of the redeemed on the Jasper Sea as they stand elbow to elbow with the saints of the ages. Here's what it said. The Scripture, through John's eye, he wrote, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many, many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them," he was a good Pentecostal, he liked to count, "and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Now that's 100 million. And then he just said, "and thousands of thousands." It's incalculable. It's myriad. It's innumerable. What was this crowd doing, John? Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now I want to preach another verse. Some of you that have your lips zipped and your mouths, you know, mugs hushed, and you've set on your hands, and here you sit there like Elijah the wooden Indian, or hooed out on a tombstone. "Oh, God knows I'm sick. God knows I'm depressed. God knows I got problems." When God gets ready, I want to try to pump you up here now and tell you, you've got to make a noise. You've got to go for it. The next verse said, "And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him, set upon the throne of the Lamb forever and ever." Now my point is this. You're going to praise Him sometime. You may not praise Him now, but every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess. Why don't you praise Him now? There's a healer in the house. Why don't you get excited about Him now? There is a healer in the house. We need to make noise. It was noise. It was noise. It was noise that He was in the house. 1 Peter 2:5 calls a baptized body of believers lively stones, not tombstones. Lively stones. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're a lively stone." Look at that same neighbor again and tell him, "Why don't you act like it then?" Oh, hallelujah. That's right. It was noise that He was in the house. It was noise. It was noise. Let's start talking about Jesus and less about each other. Let's start talking about Jesus and quit talking about our aches and our pains and our problems and, "Oh God, I just can't hardly make it." You'd be surprised what would happen if we start talking about Jesus tonight. Oh, He's here, He's here, He's here. Oh, Lord. And it was noise that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together. It is not accidental that verse follows with the meaning it does. The noise attracted people. And telling people about Jesus can attract them to the house of God. And straightway many were gathered together. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. It was wall-to-wall people. That's the way it ought to be. You had to get early to get a back seat. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to be in here like sardines in a can. And I know that, and you know that. The greatest thing going on in Minden is happening right here. The answers to the problems in your life, the problem solver is in this building right now. And you know what it said? When that crowd was in that house packed And he preached the word unto them. Yeah. Jesus was a preacher. He shelled the corn and throwed the cob at them. Yeah. He got down on it, friend. He didn't entertain them. Now, I'm not against a joke. We all like to laugh. But you understand my point. Some sermons, if there is a newspaper published in heaven, will be in the funny papers. Listen, he preached the word. Not personal ideas and convictions, chimney corner scriptures and almanac sayings. He preached the word. And do you know who Jesus was? John 1:1 said the word was God. Verse 14, the word was made flesh. Therefore, I can tell you without contradiction, Jesus was the incarnate word. And here you've got the incarnate word preaching the written word. Now, I don't know what you want in your pulpit, but you don't get no greater than that. I don't know who you want to contact, but you don't get any greater than that. The incarnate word preaching the written word. I think we ought to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2. And I disagree vehemently. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I do. With those who strut around and say that verbal inspiration is equal to written inspiration. Well, brother, sister, I appreciate your dreams and visions. I appreciate your tongues and interpretation. And God told you this and God told you that. But let me put a check on that. As long as your dreaming and your vision and your tongues interpretation agree with what's already written, I'll dance with you. I'll shout with you. But you start walking in here saying God told me or showed me and it contradicts the Bible, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay with the Bible, and I advise you to get some tongues for the tummy or some Alka-Seltzer and quit following false doctrine. It's time we stay with the Word of God like we've never stayed with it. 1 Peter 4 says, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If we don't limit ourselves to the written word of God being the arbitrator, the final judge and authority on all of our pronouncements, theology, preaching, teaching, that the word of God is the final court of appeal beyond which there is none, then we're going to fall in the same trap that all the cultic heresies, the Jim Jonesites, the Mary Baker Eddyites, the Joseph Smith Bingham Youngites, the Judge Rutherfordites, the JWs. You hear this preacher tonight. You can say anything you want to say, but we've got to have some way of checking you out. And God's give us a book that we can check you out. Now, if you check out, all right, hey, we'll climb the stairway with you. Hallelujah. We'll leap the moon. We'll hang our coats on a star. But if the Word of God don't check you out, you just go on by yourself, because we're going to stay with Jesus preaching the Word. I said with Jesus preaching the Word. I said with Jesus preaching the Word. I didn't say God wouldn't speak to a dream and a vision. I didn't say God wouldn't give tongues and interpretation. I didn't say that. I didn't say that there could not be prophecy without any prefacing of tongues, but rather just, thus saith the Lord. I believe in all of that. But I do not believe the verbalization is equal to the written inspiration. I got to have some way of checking you out. Hallelujah! Clap your hands. Would you do it tonight? Woo! Hallelujah! I read where a man found some gold tablets one time in Upper New York State. Smith was his name, and he couldn't understand and read what was on those tablets. Would you believe an angel came and showed him? And Smith, Mr. Smith, Joe Smith, he wrote, and he gave the world his version of what those tablets had to say, and they made a book out of it. He founded a group of people to follow him in those teachings. He was killed, and I tell you, that's not right, no matter what a man believes. But his successor, Mr. Bingham Young, led the group west. And the Mormons built a beautiful temple out there in Salt Lake. I mean, gorgeous. And they put a statue on top of it. I've seen it many times flying in and out of there, of this angel that they said appeared to Mr. Smith. They say it's overlaid with gold. I know it sure shines. And that angel, they say his name was Moroni. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you what I think. That Moroni brought Baloni. That's exactly what I thought. And I'm not trying to be smart, because I've already read in Galatians 1 verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. It's baptism in Jesus' name, because Acts 2:38 said so, because Acts 8:16 said so, because Acts 10:48 said so, because Acts 19:5 said so, and no angel is going to change it. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible, and we're going to believe it. And he preached the word unto them. I appreciate your pastor. Have all of my life. Because in the midst of the miracles and the supernatural working, he's always insisted, we've got to have that Word of God. And when you have the Word, it gives meaning to your songs and support if you believe what it teaches. There's an authentication, a validation, a certification that is official. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. And he preached the word. Will you not get mad at me if I throw another sally at you and salvo? Here it comes. If you can shout over a song and not over the word of God, something's wrong with you. If you can get excited over healing and not over the healer, something's wrong with you. If you can get excited over a miracle and not over the miracle worker, something's wrong. Oh, Jesus, there's a healer in this house. And I'm excited about it. And the next verse said, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. As I said, palsy was a terrible, nervous, shaking, quaking, muscle spasm disease. Now, one preacher preached this, and he said that the man was sick of the palsy. And then he said, you know, he had it so long he was sick of it. Well, I think there's probably a point there. You can get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Notice, which was born of four. Somebody say, born of four. This man couldn't make it by himself. He had to have some help. Can I tell us that we can't make it by ourselves? That we've got to have some help. Can I tell us, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 said, for we are laborers together with God. Can I tell us, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, we then as workers together with Him. I thank God for every musician, singer, choir leader, choir member, board member, everybody in the church that does their duty with a heart full of love. We need you. We can't get along without you. We've got to pull together. And will you not get all uptight with me if I tell you what I personally believe? I personally believe we need to get to the place and stay there. That who cares who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory.
Man, if you can lay a hand on a devil and kick him out, go to it. If you can pray the prayer of faith, have at it. But we're in here to give God the glory. It takes God to give us a miracle. It takes God to give us revival. You've got problems that only God can take care of.
Hallelujah. The Bible said born of four. Dear old Sunday school teachers, my dad's church, I'd give them fits as a kid. But they put it in my heart about David and Daniel and all those Old Testament and New Testament stories. Prayed with me. I was 3 months trying to get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, son, press on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
That's right.
And they're all gone now, have been for years. And I tell you from my heart, when I get over yonder, one of the things I intend to do is look them up and say, thank you for carrying me to Jesus. Thank you for staying with me. Look at me tonight, friends. We need one another. This independent spirit has got to go. This egomania has got to go. You need this church. This church needs you. And we all need Jesus. We've got to pull together. We've got to preach together, sing together, work together. We've got to do it. If we want revival. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Now that means when they got there they couldn't get in the door. Now let me pose a hypothetical situation. They got to the door and they couldn't get in. So Jacob says to Joseph, well, we've got Benjamin on the cot here. And we've all worked hard to get him this far. Surely Jesus will send an usher back and escort us to the front and make a big show here and heal him. And we'll get on home. No one's coming, is there? They don't seem to know we're even here. Where's their welcoming committee at around here? Well, they won't let us in the door. We showed up. They won't even let us in. Let's just go on home. Going home. They don't even want us there. And if you don't want that spirit to get on you, you'll tell God, well, I showed up, God. I'm here. Do your thing. Here I am. But you not only got to show up, you got to show out. Let me say that again. You not only got to show up, sir, you got to show out. You've got to make your mind up. I think it maybe went something like this when they came unto him, that is, they got to the house, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they probably said words to this effect, well, what do you know? They won't let us in the door. Reckon where they want a door at around here. And that's the way you ought to be. You might be set by one of the coldest people in the world that don't want even worship. What you ought to do is not be intimidated by whoever's sitting by you. You're the one that's sick. You're the one that's in that valley of trouble. You're the one that's going through that vexing time. You ought to make up your mind. If they won't let me in the door, reckon where they want a door at around here. Because I came to see Jesus. I came to see Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah! Now, you know, you can put your transmission in neutral and idle your engine and just sit there and say, God knows I'm sick. He does. He also knows you're stubborn. I remember one time preaching in Indianapolis area a long time ago about God can fill you with the Holy Spirit, and He can. And an elderly man and his wife stopped me, man, hopping mad in the aisle as I was leaving to go change my clothes. And he shook his finger in my face. He said, Sonny boy, I want to tell you something. When God gets ready to fill us with the Holy Ghost, He'll fill us. Now, we're waiting on God. Whenever God gets ready, He'll give it to us. I said, sir, could I just give you one verse of Scripture? Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He didn't say he's going to kick the door off the hinges and come in anyhow against your will. I'm sorry, folks, but you've got to want what you need from God more than you want anything else. And you've got to let God know you want it. And the best way to let God know is to worship Him and to praise Him. Even if you're sick, even if you're discouraged, praise Him anyhow. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. They took the man on the cot up to the roof. That was work. They carried him up there. Flat top houses, no doubt, it's Peter in Acts 10 praying, and they carried him up. Might have been a back staircase, I don't know, but they took him up there. Maybe they carried him with ropes. Now, why did Jesus? Is he a sadist? He saw him back there. He just kept preach. So here they go, carrying the man on top of the roof. Now you think that's just a story, but on the way to church tonight, how many did you see on stretchers being carried to the roof of a church? Not many, I don't imagine. And then when they got up there, the Bible said, and when they had broken it up, they started tearing a hole in the man's roof without a permit. Now you'd be surprised how class conscious peer pressure does its trick on us. That's right. We sit here, we want to worship so bad, but we're waiting for permission. And you're sitting and thinking, oh, if Sister CKQ will just turn loose, I'll turn loose. And you know what Sister CKQ is thinking? If Sister CXY will turn loose, I'll turn loose. And the devil said, got them all psyched out. Now, it may seem strange, but my advice to you is don't sit there. Tear a hole in the roof. Don't sit there. For God's sake, do something. There's a healer in the house. And if you can get to Him, you don't have problems. You've got possibilities. But you got to tear down the obstacles. And when they had broke it up, they tore a hole in the man's roof. What would you do if you, during the service, looked up and part of the ceiling started falling down? And again, you looked and a hand was coming through the roof. And the choir was singing, "Hoo-yoo! The offering was being taken. We went on with the service. You looked again and two eyes was looking down at you. Then 4, 6, 8 eyes. 2, 4, 6, 8 hands. What would you think? Would you just stretch and say, well, just another Monday night in good old First Pentecostal Church? I doubt that. I think if that happened, you look up and say, call the cops, call the cops. That's not right. That's not the normal way you go to church. Call the cops. That's out of order. That's indecent. Call the cops. That's frantic, frenzied, frothy emotionalism. We ain't having that around here. Call the cops. Well, call the cops. I'll tell you right now, if you're desperate for God, you won't care what you have to do. You won't care how you look. You won't care what your name is. If you have to tear the roof off, you tear it off. Hallelujah. The Bible said when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick, the palsy lay. So they tore a big hole in the roof. And here's Jesus, preach, 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 just like nothing was going on. I've often wondered what those men on the roof would have said if, as they got the hole enlarged, one of them would say, "What are we going to do if we get this hole torn in the roof and Jesus has dismissed the service and gone somewhere else?" You know what I think Joseph would have told Jacob? I don't know how to say this right. Let's see. How they say it in South Louisiana. I've preached that a lot of times. I think they'd say it this way. "We just unclimb this roof. That's what we'll do. And we'll follow him to the next house. And bless God, if they won't let us in the door, we'll go to the roof of that house. And I'll tell you right now, if we've got to tear the roof off of every house in this little old village, we'll do it because we're going to see Jesus, because he's got our answers. He's got what we need, and we're not going to go home without deliverance." My God, I wish I could. Praying to what you need. There's a healer in the house. There's a healer in the house. You know what I think? I think Jesus saw them, of course, when they showed up at the door and then went around and went on top of the roof. I believe he did. You believe he did? I love to preach about the multifaceted character of Christ. Oh, and whoever loves Jesus like we do, that is, the church, loves to preach about him. And I like to do studies on what he is to the arts and crafts or many other ideas. For instance, like to the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:6, the artist, he's the one altogether lovely. Song of Solomon 5:16. Or to the astronomer, he's the bright morning star. Revelation 22:16. To the baker, he's the living bread. John 6:51. The banker, the unsearchable riches. Ephesians 3:8. The biologist, he's the life. John 14:6, John 11:21, John 20:31, and Revelation 1:17-18, and on and on and on. I like that kind of stuff. And I was driving down the road here the other day, and I listened to a black brother preach on the radio. And he was waxing eloquent. He was preaching what Jesus was in every letter of the alphabet. I thought, hey, boy, this sounds good. I was wondering, what's he going to say when he gets to the letter X? I was listening. He got down into the letter X, and he said, he's got X-ray vision. I thought that was all right. You know why? Because I believe he's got X-ray vision. I'm not trying to just pump you up. I'm preaching tonight. He saw you when you got up this morning. He's had his eye on you all day long. He knows the pain in your heart. He knows the load you're carrying. He knows that he knows that he knows that he knows that. And he sees you right now. What are you going to do? Sit there? Or are you going to tear the roof off? What are you going to do? It's up to you. It's up to you. There's a healer in the house. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So here comes this stretcher with the man on it and the ropes to the men on the roof. And this man's shaking and quaking and full view of everybody. That man, he didn't worry about being embarrassed. His need overrode his sensitivity. And in full view of everybody, here he comes. And there's nothing wrong with dressing nice, using perfume and cologne, good fashionable clothes, prim and proper. But don't let that stop you from worshiping God. Oh, we get so embarrassed easily. Oh, I'd like to have that sweet Holy Ghost, but I want to get it at home, in the closet, with the door shut, and the lights out. And none of that herky-jerky stuff either, I'll tell you. As I said last evening, you're not going to tell God how he's going to make you act. In fact, if I was you, I'd zip my lip about that right now. Because when you do receive it, he just might really put one on you. I've seen it, and so have you. So let's just say, God, you're God. Whatever you want me to do, God, that's just exactly what I'll do. And love every minute of it. That's right. That's
And so here comes this cot. Now the Bible said it so well. When Jesus saw their faith, I'm trying to preach. I keep getting these checks every little bit. I hope to be a little further along. I just got another check in the Spirit. Okay, let me say it. When Jesus saw their faith. Everybody say, when Jesus saw their faith. Now what did Jesus see? Didn't he see a man on a cot with ropes leading to the roof and men lowering him down? Would you agree with me that what Jesus saw was their faith demonstrated by their works? Would you agree with me that faith without works is... Would you agree with me? Now, I have a running theological gun feud with these that preach name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, you know? All you've got to do, brother, is just intellectually conceptualize God. Reach out that way in your mind and it's all yours. Well, I wouldn't want you to carry me to Jesus. First place, it would be too much work. I wouldn't want you to help me get on that roof. That's too much work. In fact, if you did get up there, you'd probably tell me, now, brother, just believe God and hold up here in that roof. Yeah. And when we work so hard to get a hole in the roof, I know what you'd say. Brother, just fall in the hole and float down like a butterfly. God will take care of you. Listen, there's work involved in having a successful church. There's work involved in having a successful ministry. Successful choir. Anything. In order for us to have a successful revival, let me tell you, you got to put your shoulder to the wheel. Everybody needs to get involved. Bless God, get your hand on the rope. Don't stand there. Grab the rope. Let's get somebody to Jesus. Faith without works is dead. Now, there's people that say, you don't have to be baptized. That's an act of works. You just believe and you're saved. You don't need to be baptized. Huh. I'm going to preach to you. Romans 1:5 said obedience to the faith. Romans 16:26, obedience of faith. And there the word faith linked with a little word called obedience. 2:12 of Philippians said work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And 2:3 of Hebrews said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And Peter in Acts 2:40 said, save yourselves. Don't just sit there. Do something! Is what he was saying. And James, some say, contradict Paul, and that's not right. Paul in Ephesians 2:8 said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Was preaching that there's no act or deed of merit we any could do to deserve salvation. None of us can. God had to look down in His mercy to save us. But what James is saying is, if you've got faith, real, genuine, true, blue faith, you're going to act on it, or else it's not real, true, blue, genuine faith. You unhesitatingly, unfalteringly, unreservingly do what faith says, where it says, how it says, when it says, and never question why it says. And if you argue with it and don't, you don't have real, genuine faith. Because real, genuine faith believes God says what He means and means what He says, and He will do what He says He will do. So all we need to do is act on it. Comply with it. Hebrews 5:9 said He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Someone say, obey Him. Acts 6:7, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Somebody said, obey Him. 6:17 of Romans, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Somebody said, obey Him. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Somebody said, obey Him. Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than man. Somebody said. 32 said He gives the Holy Ghost to them that
Obey him. Paul in Acts 26:19 told King Agrippa, "O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." If you believe what God says, you're not going to sit there. You're going to act on what he says to do without hesitation. I haven't time to really get into this, but James 2, verses 14 to 26, and I'm going to speed it through, not real fast, but come on now, you can pick up on it, all right? What doth it profit, my brother, and though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by thy works. By my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and was imputed to him for righteousness. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Verse 17, 20, 22, 24, 26, five times in 12 verses, James said, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. There's a healer in the house today. Act like it, act like it. There's healing here. Act like it. Act like it. There's Holy Spirit baptism here. Act like it. Act like it. Act like it. Woo, hallelujah. Woo, let's show God we believe in tonight. If faith alone can save without your attending works of cooperation, then the devil can be saved. I just read it to you. James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil has faith. Then why can't he be saved? Because he cannot act on that faith. He cannot repent. He cannot go to the water and be baptized. It wouldn't do him a bit of good if we baptized him, if he was here incarnate tonight. It wouldn't do any good. He cannot receive the Holy Ghost. It's all closed to him. It's inaccessible to him because Matthew 25:41, hell, the word there means Gehenna, lake of fire, is prepared for the devil and his angels. I give that to you last evening, 19:20, verse 10 of Revelation. It's impossible for the devil to act on his faith. He's got bukus of it, boat loads of it, barns full of it. He knows there's one God. I've never, ever in my life met a Trinitarian devil, a real, genuine devil. He's always one God. He knows who Jesus is, but he cannot act on that faith. Listen to me. Please listen to me. That's the devil, not you. You can act on your faith. You don't have to sit there and die. You don't have to sit there without the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go home without deliverance tonight. Show that devil, hey, you may not be able to act on it, but I can rise. I can clap my hands. I can worship God. I can get anointed with oil. I can be baptized. I can receive the Holy Ghost. I can have works. There is no efficacy in the water. It is H2O. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure unto even baptism doth also now save us. What makes water baptism is the name in the water. 2 million Hindus were plunged in the Ganges River in their annual rite of purification. Didn't do them a bit of good. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So water, 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 water. But when you take on a name in that water that's above every name, it can do the work.
When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee."
Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. We come to all this work to get healed, and You're forgiving his sins. Well, first things first.
"Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there.
Another revival.
Sitting. I hope he don't preach so long tonight. Got to get up, go to work, so we can come home, so we can go to bed, so we can get up, so we can go to work, so we can come home, so we can go to bed, so we can get up. So we can go to work, so we can come home, so we can get up, so we can go to work, so we can go to bed, so we can come home, so we can go to bed, so we can get up, so we can go to work. I don't know if you're picking up on what I'm really trying to tell you. You are in a rut. And the Holy Ghost wants to put some excitement in your life. So don't just sit there. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Now, scribes were the men who laboriously by hand copied the law. They didn't have fax machines and copy machines. And you hear that? Typewriters. So by hand. And they knew it because they copied it by hand. They were experts in the Mosaic law. And they said, "What's he doing forgiving that man's sins? Only God can forgive sins." I tell you, I know it. Job 14:4. Isaiah 43:25. Only God can forgive sins. Well, if they'd had the New Testament, they said Romans 8:33. And they were right. No question. Only God can forgive sins. And if I could have walked in, would I love to walk in? I would have loved to walk up to that scribing board. I said, "My brothers, here you sit like blackbirds on the fence. You've come to criticize and find fault and ridicule. You're professional fault finders. That's what you are. You didn't come to worship. You didn't come to get involved. You come to find fault." Hello now. Don't get up and leave. I wouldn't if I was you right now. And I tell you what, if you're not here tomorrow night, we'll know why. All right. Woo! I can sing your wonder. Why? Professional fault finding. Why? Why have revival now? Don't they know that summertime? Yeah, and the living is easy. Why? Don't he know our family reunion's around the corner? Well, there's always a family reunion around the corner. "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" I would have loved to walk in. I said to our fellow board members, scribe meeting board members, "I agree with you. You are exactly right. You have got Bible. We just give together. Only God can forgive sin. But scribes, see that man standing over there? Do you know who he is? I'd like to tell you, scribes, that's more than Mary's baby standing there. That's more than the carpenter's son standing there. That's the sea walker, the blind eye opener, the leper cleanser, the heart mender. That's Abraham's ram standing right there. That's Aaron's rod that budded standing right there. That's Daniel's visions, David's slingshot. That's Elijah's mantle. That's Elisha's double portion standing right there. That's Ezekiel's waters to swim in burning right there. That's Moses' burning bush standing right there. That's Miriam's song. That's Noah's rainbow. That's Samson's strength. That's Solomon's wisdom. That's Samuel's horn of oil standing right there. Do you know who's here tonight? Do you know who's here tonight? The healer is in the house. The healer is in the house. Don't find fault. Let him heal you tonight. I want everybody that will to raise your hands and worship God. Oh, God, I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Standing right there. Was a child born and a son given. Isaiah 9 and 6. Was what is called Abba, Father in Arabic. Galatians 4 verse 6. Was Abel, Matthew 9, 28. Abundant in goodness and truth. Exodus 34 and 6. Standing right there. Acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53 and 3. Admired. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. Was standing right there. Advocate. 1 John 2 and 1. Afflicted. Isaiah 53 and 4. All in all. According to Colossians 3 verse 11. Oh my goodness. Exodus 33 19. And Almighty God. Was standing right there. In the flesh. Revelation 1 verse 8. And Genesis 17 and 1. And that was the Alpha and Omega standing right there. Revelation 1 and 8. That's the altar. According to Hebrews 13 and 10. And the altogether lovely. Song of Solomon 5:16 was standing right there. According to 69:8 of Psalms, he was an alien. Psalm 99 said he was a high place. Hebrews 6:19 said he was the anchor of the soul. Standing right there was the Ancient of Days. According to Daniel 7 and 9, he was an angel. 7:35 of Acts, and the angel of God. 27:23 of Acts, and the angel of his presence. 63:8 of Isaiah, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil. 48:16 of Genesis. Standing right there was the arm. Isaiah 59:16 was the arm of his strength. Isaiah 62:8 was the arm of the Lord. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Standing right there was the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. And the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 5 and 9. And according to the book that we read called the Bible, standing right there was the axe laid at the root of the trees. According to Matthew 3 verse 11. And the avenger, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 6. Bali, which means my Lord or Master. Standing right there was a banner upon the high mountains. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Bear robbed of her whelps. Beautiful and glorious. Beauty, beauty of holiness before all things. Standing right there was the beginning and the ending. Standing right there was the blessed of God. The branch of righteousness. The branch of the Lord. The bridegroom. The bright morning star was standing right there. And the brightness of his glory. Funnel of myrrh. Oh, friend, I could go on and on. There's 1,311 of them with 2,500 titles. What to God I could impress your mind. There's a healer in the house. There's a healer in the house. Oh, he's here. He's here. Right now, he's walking these aisles. He wants to heal your mind, your spirit, as well as your body. He wants to give this church revival. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you for being here, Lord. Thank you for being here.
Oh. Oh. There's a healer in the house today. Reach over while you're sitting, please, to someone close by. Lay your hands up. Let's pray for one another. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind that hindrance in your life, that depression in your spirit. In Jesus' name, I bind it. The healer is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Oh God. Oh God. Have your way. Would you raise your hands where you're standing right now? Raise your hands in the air. Worship God in your own way. Would you do it? Reach out right now. He's here. He's here. He's here. Oh, he's here. He's here. He's here. Oh, whatever you need. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Ghost. I want everybody in this building that has a need in your body, in your spirit, in your soul, and by that I include your mind, whatever it may be, you need a touch from God. I want you to stand right where you're at right now. Oh God, in your name. Would you raise your hands now? Right where you're standing. There's a healer in the house. Right beside you he is. You reach over right now. Touch him tonight. Don't let anything hinder you. Show him you mean business. Worship him. He's right by you right now to do whatever needs to be done in your mind, in your spirit, in your body, in your soul. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh God, I know you're here. You're able. Oh, God, hallelujah. Have your way, Lord, I pray. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I love you. While you're standing, I want everybody that feels they'd like to come to this altar for whatever reason, would you step out and come right now? Come down here right now. In Jesus' name, there's a healer in the house. For whatever reason, You and God only needs to know. Come on down here right now. If you have to tear a hole in the roof, push yourself out of that aisle or pew bank, come on. Forget tomorrow for a while. Come on, whatever your need is, God's here tonight. He's here. Oh, He's here. Lord, I feel His presence. Oh, Lord. Oh, come on right now. There's others of you that need to be here tonight. Come on. Tear a hole in the roof. Tear a hole in the roof. Tear a hole in the roof. Hallelujah. As we get ready to sing, I want everybody that will to raise their hands and let's pray again right where you're at. In Jesus' name. And as we sing, when you will, just as soon as you can, I'm asking the saints of this church and anybody that will help us that's here, would you come on up here and would you find somebody in this altar? Sister, find you a sister and put your arm around her and pray with her. Brother, find you a brother. Come on now as we sing. Come on. Come on.
And for you, He wants to make a way. Just have to believe that everything. There's a healer in the house today. There's a healer in the house today. And for you, He wants to make a way. Just have to believe that everything. There's a healer in the house today. There's a healer in the house today.